You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with producer Brigham Taylor. Brigham is the producer of Disney's Christopher Robin, the latest return to the famed Hundred Acre Wood to visit with friends Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, Piglet, and many more. In this one-on-one, Brigham talks to us about how they recreated the world designed by A.A. Milne, how they found their Christopher Robin, and what it means for the past to catch up to you. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Thanks for chatting with me. I appreciate it. This guy, sure. I know that you're a busy guy.
No problem. It's a fun subject.
Yeah, and it looks like a fun movie. I was wondering, what was it that excited you about going back to the Hundred Acre Wood?
I've always loved these characters. I've loved these stories. And when I sort of stumbled upon the notion of maybe telling the story in a live-action context from the perspective of an adult Christopher Robin, I felt like it was a whole new opportunity to re-examine the relationship we all have with these characters for generations. And so, it was a new way, I think, to sort of evaluate who these characters are and what their value is. So that was always a really exciting thought for me.
There is something about these characters that's somewhat timeless. I was wondering, what is it about them that still resonates today?
That's an interesting question. I have my own perspective on it. I think other people might have different answers, but I feel like they, Pooh especially, they embody this ideal sense of friendship and valuing that. And what's telling is that all these characters, Rabbit, Owl, Piglet, Eeyore, they're all very different. They all have weaknesses and foibles, but they all sort of are able to overcome those and value their friendship on top of that. They exhibit amazing sort of patience and kindness for each other, even though they can annoy each other deeply. And I think there's huge lessons in that. And there's a huge amount of sort of charm and sentiment that goes in that. Because when you see that kind of generosity that these characters have, you want to emulate that. You both want that in your life, and you want to emulate that in your life.
I was wondering, since this is not a straight-up remake, you said looking at it from a new perspective with a grown-up Christopher Robin. So there was nothing to base it on. So how do you go about developing a story in the spirit of A.A. Milne? Was there ever a temptation to bring it to today, or how do you bring that to life?
Yeah. It's a whole fun development process, and I think that there was consideration about where the movie should be set, because we were utilizing Chris Robin as a fictional character, not as the historical person who lived. So we would be free from biographical detail, but we could tell sort of a more everyman story. And at different times, the script was in sort of a timeless contemporary setting, and then we realized we'd rather just sort of adopt the timeline of when Pooh, when we all became sort of familiar with Pooh, which was when he was first, the character was first published in 1926. So we said our fictional Chris Robin would have had his childhood then, and necessarily would have experienced the war, the wartime being English, and then our story picks up post-war. So we have a very real and grounded time period, which I think is helpful. I think it keeps those characters in this timeless space that we ultimately really embraced and liked. So that was the decision that evolved, and then the other decisions just flowed out of the very simple question of, like, what would happen to any one of us, if we had this very active childhood where we had these wonderful imaginary friends that filled our days, and that we never really grew up, what would happen? A, we all grow up and become busy and sort of, encumbered with all of our duties and responsibilities, and that, what would happen if this disruptive force, this childhood friend that you hadn't seen in 30 years, came back, and it all just flowed from that. And we decided that Pooh never really seems to set about with a specific goal in mind, or at least the result isn't usually, because of a specific, question he had in mind. So he's really about his own thing. He doesn't realize he's there to rescue Christopher. He thinks he's just there to help, to find Christopher, to help him find his own friend. But out of that, of course, the important journey unfolds, which is Christopher rediscovering his own childhood.
Yeah. How did you know you'd found your Christopher Robin in Ewan McGregor?
We're so happy with that. We knew we'd found him when we looked around. As anyone does, you have a out who we want and you give it some thought, and you turn around and look at who's out there in the world, and you say, my goodness, it really needs to be you and McGregor. And then you go about the very vulnerable situation of offering the movie to an actor, and then, you know, they have the choice to accept or reject the project. And so we knew we wanted him, and we were really, really happy that he came back, and he read the script. He seemed to completely get it and get the value of this role, and we're just overjoyed. And the whole reason we thought of him as uniquely the person to do it was that you needed someone simultaneously to be able to portray the sort of the world-weary, middle-aged guy who's dealing with everything, but then also at the appropriate time to rediscover that six-year-old boy inside. And Ewan has just an amazing range where he can give you both. And some actors excel at one and some at the other, but he really has the ability to inhabit both of those sort of personas. It's really wonderful.
What was important to you in determining the look of the film? I heard that you're even filming in the real Ashdown Forest.
We did. Our forest locations were a combination of Ashdown Forest. We're a specific estate, Pippingford Estate, and then we also were in Great Windsor Park, which is the royally owned acreage that's in and around the Windsor Castle, which is unique because it has an untouched and unspoiled section that hasn't been sort of manicured or logged for 1,000 years.
Wow.
It's really beautiful. We combined those locations to create our 100-acre wood. But the goal from the outset, from my first conversations with Mark, we all agreed that we wanted to create a very real ungrounded. We didn't want to have something that was super stylized. We wanted the beauty of actual nature to sort of be our guide. And that carried over even into our city locations, where we wanted to feel like a very grounded and real post-war London, and not to sort of throw brightly colored paint or to throw CG onto the greenery. We wanted it to be very real, because we thought the characters would be all the more magic if we portrayed them as actual things that existed in a real environment.
Yeah, actually, when I saw the first trailer, that was the thing that sort of caught me off guard too. Is the look of the animated characters, because I sort of had this idea that they would almost be 2D animated inserted. I don't know why I thought that, just because of my experience with them. But they look so charming. They look adorable.
that was the hope, and that was my premise from early on. Is that obviously Pooh was born out of the notion of a very real teddy bear that a young boy could hold. And obviously in the realm of animation, he became a very charming 2D version of that. And that really, save for a very few episodes, you know, where he was puppeted on a Disney Channel series. But for most of us, he really exists as that glorious 2D animated character from 1966. But I felt like that the ability to transit that character back into a real object, a real 3D hand-sewn, you know, lovely, huggable, you know, toy, that would be, you know, in and of itself, a really novel experience. And it would force you to sort of, I think, in some ways, reevaluate, you know, what these characters were, what they were born out of, the conceit that, you know, that Milne was telling stories about these real stuffed animals that were in this boy's room.
You know, you mentioned the original film in 56. I have to admit, I was absolutely stunned when I heard that you were bringing back Richard M. Sherman, to do the music. That is astounding. And I was wondering, could you talk a little bit the process of bringing him on board?
Yeah, it was a very early sigh. I've had the really wonderful pleasure of working with Richard on Jungle Book, because he came in to rewrite some of the lyrics.
Oh, did he?
And he came, he wrote these new verses. It was fantastic. He came out to us all the way to the East Coast for a recording session with Chris Walken, who was singing King Louie's song, just to give him some coaching through that. It was really great. And Richard was lovely, and he just remains really sharp and active and prolific. And so that was the first thought. We said, Richard, we'd love for you to write a few songs in the vein of the original songs you and your brother did. He said, absolutely, and we asked for two songs in particular, and he came back with three songs, and we were just sort of overjoyed about that. And so we went about using those. Our film opens with one of his new songs, and then closes again with some of his new songs. And then we found some application for some of his classic little tunes that you'll discover in different little ways inside the movie, because they were such a strong voice for obviously the original features. So it's great. And we had a premiere here last night at the studio lot, where we also rededicated one of the sound stages wherein he recorded the bulk of his music that we all know and love right here on the lot was rechristened the Sherman Brothers stage.
Wow. Oh, that's exciting. That's really neat.
Photos in the ether today, just commemorating that. It was a really wonderful moment.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. I was wondering, were there any particular challenges to bring Pooh and his friends to life? It's a big undertaking. I mean, you have a big responsibility with a project like this.
Yeah, I think the two on the creative side, along with everything else, I think the biggest challenge was to translate these characters back into three dimensions in a photoreal way. And we really benefited from a wonderful conceptual artist who took our brief was to say, to have a character that was recognizable as the 2D animated version that we've all known and loved, crossed with the original illustrations from E.H. Shepherd in the book, but also by way of a vintage teddy bear that would have been produced, back in the 20s. So he sketched out these original images, and the first one we saw, we knew he had nailed it. And that was the our North Star as we built it practically, because we had hand-built versions of all the stuffed animals with us on the set so that we could use them in shooting, even though they all eventually got replaced by our VFX animation. So that was a huge challenge to sort of nail down the looks and how to translate them into this movie. And then the other challenge was just to shoot in the English summer out in the woods, because you get a lot of rain. And we had we had built a schedule where we had 3 weeks straight in the woods before we ever got inside. And so we got lucky that we survived it, but there were long days out there, chasing these shots, but it all worked out.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine the weather would be a factor.
always an equity.
Yeah. The film seems to omit the idea of running from your past. I think the tagline of the poster even says, sooner or later, your past catches up to you. I was wondering why you think that was so important to the story you wanted to tell.
Well, for me, from the outset, this to me was an examination of what is the value of Pooh and his friends, these characters, in our lives now, even as adults. And so what better way to understand that than to tell the story through the perspective of an adult, Christopher Robin? And because to me, they are relevant. And I've never felt like that either on the page or even in the original animation that these characters were less relevant to me as an adult than they were to me as a child. And it sort of brings home the notion that they stand for certain ideas and principles about friendship and kindness that have no expiration date. So that's ultimately what the story's about in its simplest form. I mean, there's little plot elements, but it's really just about we need to remember and remind ourselves we all get preoccupied and we all forget valuable lessons, whether from the age of 6, 10, or wherever. And we need those reminders. We need external friends and voices to remind us of the important things. And in this movie, focuses on the importance of taking time out for each other and just to be present with the people that you love and your family especially. So that was the sort of heart and soul of it from the beginning.
Having said that, I guess maybe you've already answered this question, but I was wondering what you hope people get from their experience in watching Christopher Robin.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. And the irony is that we all had to work desperately hard to make this movie. And as we were shooting scenes that were all about the value of taking time away from work to be with your loved ones. And so we all, I think, have been making up for lost time since we've completed this movie to be with those very, our loved ones, our spouses, our kids, ones that without us for a little while as we're all stuck in England. But right. I definitely hope that is the primary takeaway for anyone who comes to see the film.
Brigham, it looks fantastic. I'm really excited about it. And it comes out Friday.
This Friday.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate it. I'm really excited about
the
project.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.